Hello there. Good morning, good evening, good whatever.
Whatever.
You are when. What does Yasin say?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yasin's apparently sick.
Apparently.
He couldn't make it. Yeah, apparently. He couldn't make it. So we'll insert his voice audio there just to cover for us. It's been 2 weeks since we last recorded.
Yep.
And yeah, before we jump into our podcast, we have a cool episode lined up. We need to find out what the brass have been up to. Saeed.
Okay. So it's been 2 weeks since we last recorded, as we've established.
We've established.
Multiple times.
Yep. And I don't think I've played any games in the past 2 weeks, besides a bit of Fortnite yesterday. I only played because my friend that I told you the reason I started playing is because my friend moved away, and that's the only way we keep in contact. So he was like, yo, let's play. And I was like, okay, fine.
Generational friendships.
I'll log on because
yeah,
we must catch up and stuff. But also, it's always fun to play, like to get into the Fortnite in the beginning of the seasons.
Yeah, when it's fresh. And
when it's like fresh and before the competitive players complain.
Okay.
Because like every season of Fortnite, they start off with cool things. There's cool new mechanics. There's cool mythics, all these things. And then the competitive players complain because they can't keep playing the same way they've been playing for the past 5 years. And instead of trying to get better at the game and playing with what they have, they complain so much that Epic have to
nerf
everybody else. So everybody else suffers because of the competitive players.
Yeah.
And I think you guys are losers. So you have to play the game in that first 2 weeks to get like the craziness and the best out of the new season,
okay,
unfortunately.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Makes sense.
And then after they complain too much and then it becomes a bit boring.
Yeah.
So usually it's like
stale.
It starts off high and then it dips really low in terms of like your enjoyment, I think.
Yeah. I can imagine. It gets boring because it's like the same thing.
Yeah. And like, so like this season was, I didn't enjoy it so much because I don't like playing with cars. And like because like you have to like get power ups for your car, so you get the mods, like the weapons and all this stuff.
Okay.
But if you don't get like the boss cars, right? Because like there's three bosses on the island. So if you get their cars, their cars are super OP, like insanely fast, like way more durable, powerful weapons. If you have one of those cars and you make it to like the final five people in the game, you win. So it's unless the other people all
you basically have to go for that.
You have to go for that
and hope that nobody knows that you have that.
But also like because they put Magneto in, so Magneto's gloves are in there, right? So he can like he throws like balls of metal at you, and he can reach you from frick far. So like that's OP. And then there's the other gloves that you can like use. People use for mobility, but you can also punch. So they put those gloves in because you can do moves on the cars, man. So like that's like a counter for the cars.
But it's very difficult
to get it right because just in terms of like ping and all these things, like it's tough, man. So like those fists, they're called Nitro fists, and you use them to like travel also, man, because you can like shoot yourself in the air and then shoot yourself forwards. And so if you don't have those fists also, you can't win the game because you're going to come up against somebody who has it. And they're just going to, and it's tough to lock onto somebody in mid-air, for example. But yeah, that's like,
not
so
players
now
being fisted.
We're reaching up now because normally the game like dips, and then when the secret skin comes in, the secret skin that everybody knows about comes in. That's like another part. If you have the battle pass, you can do things and you unlock the secret skin. So then people come back because they want the skin.
Oh, then it's like,
yeah. So this
is it only at like a certain point in the
like
season.
Like the season is, I think, like 3 months. And then this is like in the second month that the skin comes out.
Oh, okay.
So like they know that like it's calculated, like this must come in now to bring the people back. So like this season it was Magneto, but like based on like the X-Men 97 Magneto.
Oh, okay.
And then this season it's going to be Dr. Doom. So everybody's
the whole announcement and stuff probably.
Yeah.
And they,
so like, yeah. So in the Fortnite lore, I'm not going to get into it because it's nobody cares.
No.
But also it's really convoluted.
It's
but Dr. Doom blew up they had like a Nitro reserves, which is like petrol or like a power up. And then Dr. Doom blew it up for some reason. And we don't know. So like the next battle pass is Marvel theme. So I think there's going to be a lot of people playing, but I'm really disappointed in the skins that they chose. Cause I feel like I'm not excited about it.
Okay.
So like the skins are, the first one is Gwenpool.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And then it's War Machine. I don't care about like the robotic Iron Man style outfits. And then it's like, have you seen Peely before? The banana.
Yes.
So he's like a character.
Fortnite, not a Marvel character.
Yeah. So like they made a Pilverine one. So it's like he's
Pilver.
Yeah. So he's like it's a very different meaning in Cape Town, but like it's Peely in like Wolverine.
And then,
crack funny.
And then it's like Emma Frost, which I think is gonna be a popular skin just because whenever there's like thirst skins. And then like Jonesy, the main character of Fortnite,
the generic bruh.
Yeah, he's Captain America. So they gave him a Captain America outfit.
Oh boy.
And then Shuri is also there from Black Panther, but she's got like the outfit, so she looks okay.
That's cool.
And then Doctor Doom.
Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
Not like I want Doom, so I'm probably gonna just get like the battle pass for that for him and then see what else happens. Nice. But I'll see how it goes. I don't get the battle pass in the beginning. I'll wait and see if it's worthwhile.
It's the best way.
Because I don't want to force myself to grind, man. So if I play and I get the levels, then it's fine.
Then it's like, okay, now I can spend and get this stuff.
Mm. And then I haven't, outside of the games, I watched, I think, 2 movies only also. I don't know what I've been doing. I was watching Olympics. I was watching Olympics and I was keeping my time.
Yeah.
But like, I watched 2 movies. I watched 2. I liked one way more than the other. The first one that I watched that I liked was Trap.
Oh, yeah, I really want to see it.
M. Night Shyamalan.
I did not expect to like it because also like I saw a lot of the hate it got
on
the internet beforehand. And I was like, okay, I was annoyed by the hate it was getting before I went into it. And then I watched it and there's like a lot of moments in like the first maybe 40 minutes that feel exactly like a video game.
Really?
Like exactly because like the way that like Josh Hartnett's character does like it, like just the way he is, there's like this thing that's like off like uncanny about like the way he reacts to people, man. Like you can you can see the gears turning in his head, like I have to say this now. Or,
that's cool.
And like even the way he acts, it's not natural, man. So people were hating on the fact that a lot of the criticism was like, oh, the dialogue doesn't seem like real. And but like if you watch the movie, that's the point. And that annoyed me afterwards because I was like
people are not getting it.
Yeah, people didn't, but like the media literacy is so dead that it was like you can't understand that this bruh is supposed to be an awkward bruh.
Yeah.
And like sure, like some of the there's always gonna be like a cringy line here. And like I don't think his daughter should have been one of the stars of the movie because I don't think she can act well enough.
Oh, does she act as well? Yeah. I thought she was just the performer on stage.
Yeah, but she's actually she actually plays like a decent role in the movie as well. And like they could have given, I feel like they should have just taken like a pop star girl, like a Disney girl to do that instead.
Yeah.
But I guess he wanted to put his daughter in the movie. Fair. I can't hate on that.
Yeah.
I would probably do the same if I could like put her in like $100 million movie. Yeah. I would probably do it. But I enjoyed the movie. I don't want to give anything away because I don't know how much you know about it. But like in the first...
I know what's in the trailer.
Yeah. So like that's like a small part because there's more that comes after. Cool. So like that's kind of cool.
So I don't want to hear anything else. I really want
like,
to watch it actually.
There's bits like in the first 40 minutes that literally like it's like it reminds me so much of like the way cutscenes work. Even way like some of the shots are like the way when you walk and then like it switches like to like almost like a Resident Evil sometimes. So I didn't see if anybody asked him about if it was intentionally like made to seem like.
Yeah, okay.
But it's like there's like moments that are really video gaming because there's some moments where like you saw the trailer.
Yeah.
So like there's some moments where he needs to do things in the stadium.
Yeah.
That feel exactly like if you, it's like, I was like, half expecting like a mission thing to be like in the corner and be like, do this now.
Oh, that's
like,
very cool actually.
So like I enjoyed that part. And then like it's not like, I wouldn't say it's like a solid, it's a 7.
It's a
we
7.
Love 7.
Like 6.5. Let's say 6.5.
Okay.
So it's good for what it is, but it's
I didn't feel like I wasted my money watching.
Okay, now that's good then.
Nice.
Like that's exactly what you want. You just want to go enjoy it.
Yeah.
Everything is going to be flawed. Yeah. So it's like,
yeah, and like I think like you can look past the flaws in that movie because like I enjoyed, because once it clicked in my head like, yo, this reminds me like of a game. I was like, okay, I enjoy it like a lot more.
That's cool.
And then the other movie I watched was Talented Mr. Ripley. I didn't.
I watched it in long. I haven't seen.
I watched it for the first time.
And
what did you think?
It's way too long. Like it's 2 hours.
I haven't seen it.
It's 2 hours and like 20 minutes.
It's a lot.
And like, you know what annoyed me, no? So like it has these cool moments and things, but like they, it's like very like heavy handed, like the foreshadowing of things that happen in the movie. And like, that's fine, I guess. But like for me, it's annoying because I feel like there's better ways that you could have done it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause like,
it's a good,
do you mind if I spoil something in the movie?
I don't care about
so
that.
So like one of the, so like There's like so many. So like one of the characters gets murdered in the movie, right?
Okay.
And then like at so many points in the movie, is there like moments before where he's like, oh, you're killing me, man. Or he's like, oh, come on, man, you're drowning me. And oh, it's no. like, okay. And then yeah, we were just like, I was just looking, I was watching with my girlfriend. We were just looking, so like, oh, so yeah, it's going to happen.
Okay.
And then like the these things
it's
happen.
It's that winking, but like they're like, yeah. Oh, look.
And like,
oh.
I think maybe that might've been intentional because like even in the opening credits, like it's got like, it's set in the 1956, I think or something.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's got like the opening credits. We were watching it and I was like, yo, if they didn't mean the, like this as a reference to those old movies, it would have been, it's really cringy. But okay. if they did, then it's fine.
Yeah.
And there's like a moment where I thought the movie was going to end. And I was like, oh, wow, that movie actually was better than I thought because I liked the way it ended.
Okay.
And then there's 20 more minutes and I was like, oh, come on, man. And
okay.
then it ends like I think like it's a cool movie and I can see why like people in like why it. Other people enjoy it. But yeah. There was too much that I didn't like. And I felt like I wasted 2 hours of my life.
I enjoyed Fair it. Enough. But I felt
But like, when did you watch it?
Hmm?
When did you watch it?
Years ago, but I like, but I agree with you. I do feel like it's long and it's like there are things in between. It's like you said, there's great moments.
Yeah.
But like the in between sometimes doesn't just yeah. those marks. Man.
Yeah. Like it should have been a mini series.
Yeah.
But also like we watched it because we spoke about Saltburn like while we were having supper. Oh. And then we're like, oh, like they say like that movie's a worse version of Talented Mr. Ripley. And then we're like, oh, let's watch Talented Mr. Ripley. And then, I don't know, I haven't watched Saltburn. I don't intend to.
Saltburn is definitely an experience.
I love Saltburn.
it's wild.
Yeah.
It's very wild if you're not ready.
Yeah, you want to see some Pilverine, you watch that movie.
Yeah.
But that's my 2 weeks.
Cool.
But yeah, like I haven't had time to play like a lot of games this week because like I'm trying to catch up with work and stuff. But I did watch a little documentary called You're Finally Awake, and it's like the whole development process of Skyrim and how they made it.
Ooh.
And it's really cool to see the insight into how they put Skyrim together.
Is it Noclip?
No, it's not Noclip. It's actually made by one of the guys who was one of the developers that he
cool.
brought back.
That's cool.
Like a bunch of them. And it's interesting to see, like a lot of them were doing stuff for the first time. And like bringing together all these ideas and like seeing how they can improve on different things. And seeing that is what I think makes Skyrim so unique.
Mm.
Like what they put in is kind of what you got out.
Yeah.
And it made the game like just, that's why like Skyrim is one of the most iconic games of like the last decade, if not of all time. And then on top of it, it's like people are still playing it today. People are still buying it today. It's really cool.
Then they're going to continue to release it on everything
until
that comes.
until the Elder Scrolls 6 comes out.
when a phone is capable of doing it, they're going to release it on mobile. I guarantee you that.
They're
going to
put it by the canal playstations also eventually.
It's going to be like the new Doom. Like Skyrim and GTA 5 are going to become like the new Doom. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's a cool insight. It actually like made me realize like how much I enjoy it and how much I want to play it again. And then like a friend of mine was saying like it's actually like amazing how Todd Howard made like one of the best first person RPGs ever and then just like didn't retire, man. Like if he retired he would have gone down as like one of the greatest like devs like or creative directors ever of all time. But like he just kept chasing that high and it was like, it just all went downhill because Fallout 4 was great, but it wasn't like as great. And then it was like Fallout 76. So it was like, I mean, Elder Scrolls Online it has its community, but also it's
I feel like online games don't count.
Nah.
Yeah, but and then like it was Starfield. And like, I mean, they're still fixing like a lot of the issues with it.
Apparently, it's much better now, like with the latest updates.
I haven't played it in such a long time, and I'm waiting for the next update, which will include vehicles.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is my number one complaint with the game, is exploring the planets is a schlep. Especially, you're exploring, you're picking things up, and then you get overcome, and then, then you can't run back to your ship, and you can't fast travel. So if you have a vehicle, you just drive back to your ship with all
I think
your shit.
That will help like a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been cool to like see, like get that insight into like
that's
how
cool.
they
I
made a game
it.
And put it together. I'll share it I'll share the link to it on one of our socials.
We can put the link in the description of the podcast, so it'll be like on Spotify and Apple.
Yeah,
Music.
we can definitely put it up there.
It's a good idea.
Brad, what have you been up to?
A lot, but also nothing. Like, it's weird. Like, so you spoke about the Olympics. Like, I haven't been watching the Olympics, but obviously I've been supporting our South African athletes. And but also last night, and I don't know why I put it off, but last night for the first time I watched the opening ceremony, but the portion where Gojira played, the heavy metal band that caused a bit of controversy.
Oh, yeah.
So now Gojira is one of my favorite bands. And I almost felt like and I know this isn't the truth, but I almost felt like I discovered them when they weren't popular.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, the world is seeing them. And I'm like, almost so proud of them. I was watching it last night with like tears in my eyes almost. I'm just like, I'm so proud of them because they're French as well. They're a French metal band. And they are playing in Paris on this huge castle, epic music. Loved it. So I watched that. And then I watched last night. I started and didn't complete watching The Devil's Rejects, the Rob Zombie movie.
Oh yeah. Yes, I've seen that.
And I used to love it. And last night I was just in the mood for like a bad gory horror movie.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let me watch that. It's so weird. House of 1,000 Corpses, which is the first one. The names are insane. Then Devil's Rejects is the second one. And then Three from Hell is the final movie. So it's a trilogy. The first and the last one are available online, but The Devil's Rejects just isn't available anywhere. So I had to sail the high seas last night and get the movie.
That's probably like this, probably some rights issue that's going
like
on.
Like a song that's like somebody hasn't cleared. Or.
But it didn't hold up. Rob Zombie movies are very hit and miss. So like they're either brilliant or they're dog shit. And
there's no in between.
Yeah. Like House of 1,000 Corpses, I think was great. Three from Hell, I know is horrible. And this one I thought was a good midpoint, but it just isn't. It's
just a dog shit.
It's too gratuitous. It's like, it's too violent in a way. Do you know what I mean? It's like violence for violence sake and not for like the story.
And it becomes boring almost because you're like, okay.
Yeah. And so Rob Zombie, like I love his Halloween movies. A lot of people don't, but I love his Halloween movies.
Was that the Halloween 2000?
No. He did a remake of the first and the first two movies.
Wait, when did that come out? Was
2007, like a long time ago.
I'm just trying to think. I think I have seen those. Mm. I just can't remember.
The first one I thought was really good. A lot of Halloween purists didn't like it because he gave Michael Myers too much of a backstory. Like why he became unhinged.
Why,
And then it's almost like, because in the first movie, it's just like there's a kid, he kills his sister, and then he gets arrested, he grows up, escapes from the asylum and carries on killing people. Like, so this one gave him more of a backstory. Anyway, so I didn't like The Devil's Rejects, which I'm upset by because I was looking forward to watching it.
Oh.
And then video game wise, I downloaded The Quarry off Game Pass. And I'm not far enough into it to give like a proper review yet, but I played like the first scenario, should I say, like,
yeah,
because it's like Until Dawn. I think it's made by the same people.
I think it is.
And so it's very much like, so the first chapter is you play as a character, you know what I mean, and then the second chapter
you must get them to this point.
Exactly. But and so the visually it's a beautiful game, but because they're using real actors, there's like a little bit of like an uncanny valley type of thing. Like the eyes just look dead. The faces look hyper realistic and they look like the actors, obviously, but the eyes are just dead. So like there's some like disconnect.
Yeah.
But also like the
but doesn't that add to the game? Do you think that adds to it?
No. Or?
Maybe it will going forward. I don't know. But like.
Yeah, that was like a little bit of an issue with Until Dawn. Like sometimes it felt like you got that disconnect. But I think like they did it pretty well for the most part.
100%. And also Until Dawn, like because it was on that generation of hardware, the graphics weren't like super polished. Whereas in The Quarry, it's like ultra realistic, except for the eyes. The eyes look dead. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you can like notice like, it's not working.
And then you take control of the characters. Like, so for those who don't know, it's like, it's very much like Until Dawn, like an interactive movie almost. You know what I mean? And
pieces.
And then you take control of a character for a little bit, then it goes back into a quick time event, then back into a cinematic. But when you take control of the character, the controls feel a little bit stiff as well. You know what I mean? So they're like when they're walking, it's very stiff and and then so in the scene that I was in, it's like at night and she's got a cell phone torch, right? And she's walking through the forest. But like, you can move the cell phone torch with the right analog stick and you move her with the left analog stick, right?
I can see where the issues are coming in.
So she's looking forward the whole time, but her cell phone torch is doing this. She's like...
Oh, it's not like... It doesn't feel as
it feels very robotic. But like, that's been my main criticism with it so far. So it didn't grasp me in the first like maybe 45 minutes that I played.
Because I think Until Dawn got me in like the first few minutes. Same. I was like, okay, no, actually, I'll sit with this.
No, likewise.
This looks cool.
Likewise. But like I said, I haven't played enough of it to give like a proper review, but I will when I've played enough of it, because I'm going to carry on playing it. It seems like a nice little like, just a fun game to pass the time with kind of thing.
Brad will bring you a full review once he's done, if he ever finishes it.
Which I probably won't. I hardly finish games, which is irritating. So I've also been watching, there's a YouTube channel and I'll find it now while I'm talking about it. I forget the name. It's a guy who has taken every saga of Dragon Ball Z and condensed it down to like between 2 to 4 hours of story and cutting out all the filler and stuff like that.
That's crazy.
I will find the channel name now, but basically I've already watched the Saiyan saga, which starts with Raditz arriving on Earth and then ends with Vegeta and Nappa being destroyed. So the channel is called Manlit King, which is weird. But the cool thing is they re-edited in a way. So basically instead of the Saiyan saga starting with Raditz arriving on Earth, it starts with Goku defeating Piccolo at the end of Dragon Ball. So it's almost like a backstory.
Okay.
And then it goes into Raditz because obviously Piccolo plays a big part in helping defeat Raditz. So it gives a bit of backstory. And then also they've included more modern music. So it almost plays like an AMV. When Goku's powering up in one thing I think when he goes Kaioken level 5 or whatever to defeat Frieza, while he's powering up to defeat Vegeta, while he's powering up, Linkin Park's One Step Closer starts playing in the background. And like, instead of the title music being the Dragon Ball Z theme song, which I kind of missed, but it was like a Papa Roach song.
Cool.
Which was, it was really cool. So I watched the Saiyan saga and the cool thing is it's on in the background because I remember it. You know what I mean? And it's just like a familiar
thing. I kind of want to watch it.
And now I've started watching the Namek saga with Frieza and stuff like that. And it's just a lot of fun. And then the next one is a 6 hour long one of the Android and Cell Game saga. Ooh. And so they haven't gotten to the Boo saga yet. So it's pretty cool that he's putting...
I missed a lot of those ones. I had Muslim school that time. Like that for the... My Muslim school moved to like 4 p.m. and then I missed all of that Dragon Ball.
You didn't watch dub.
Yeah. I'm going to watch that though, but I feel like I need to download that because I don't know how long they're going to let that stuff stay up.
It's been on there for like 5 months already, crazy. But yeah, I agree with you. You should download it because it's gonna be taken down.
Somebody's going to hit it with a strike.
Because if it's not the music, it's the Dragon Ball Z stuff.
Exactly.
Somebody's going to come for it.
Yeah. All the comments are like, please don't take this down.
Okay. Let's go to our question. For the week. From the week. And the question is, if a character looted you in a game, what would you want them to find? So, because like, if we just say what's on you, then it's going to be like cell phone, wallet keys. It's going to be boring, man. Like, nah. So like, what do you want them to find on you?
I don't even know. I'm trying to think now.
Fine.
What would you want?
A copy of Skyrim and a piece of paper that has password and then like a password for something, but like you don't know what it is. So it's just like, so it's like now you're stuck with like a mystery that you don't know how to solve.
I like it.
Yeah. I would want you to find a map, but the map is completely wrong. So like if they follow it, they can't follow it because it makes it seem like it's a treasure map, but it's nothing. Like it's a treasure. It's like a treasure, but it's like half of a treasure map where like you think like the missing piece is what you must find, but there's nothing at all. So like, and then there's like I have a notebook on me also where it has the story of the treasure.
It must be like half done. So it takes you like to a shop. So then it's actually like, a manual map to like you just try to get to a shop to buy something.
Like that must be like a map. Like think of like Uncharted, and like you know, like how you always find those books and stuff, and you're like, oh, I need to get this other part of the map, whatever, to find this thing. But then you do it, but there's no other part to the map because I made it with that part missing.
That's funny. But
there's also a fake book that's like telling you about this thing that is where that spot is there. Right? And I also think there should be some kind of food. I'm not sure which. Oh, you know what I want? You ever see like, so I'm obsessed with like deli sandwiches, right?
Okay.
It's the very against Brad's vegan beliefs. But like, you ever see like those videos where it's just like a big Italian man on TikTok, like just making a mousse sandwich.
Like, yeah.
But I want it to be like a suspicious amount of sandwiches on me. Like 13. Foot-long sandwiches.
That's like in like Skyrim where you find a skeleton and then there's somewhere like a cabbage. And you're like, where is this cabbage? Like, where did you put it? Like,
yeah. But I want that.
Okay, so firstly, I don't want people to loot me. Yeah. So I don't want them to find anything if they do. However, if they do pickpocket me, if their pickpocket skills are high, then I want in my pocket, that's all I have on me, in my pocket is a folded up piece of paper. None of us spoke about this before.
Yeah,
my answer is very similar to your guys. Folded up piece of paper with like a paperclip, and the paperclip has a, let's say a 300 Rand Pokemon card clipped to it, right? So like it's valuable, but it's not like the most valuable, right? Yeah. But then also on that, so it's paper clipped onto the piece of paper, and the piece of paper has a Red Dead Redemption 2 style map on it as well. Mm-hmm. But it's not a map. It's like, you know, in Red Dead 2, it's just a drawing
of a picture
of
like a random location.
And then the person will go and find it because they're like, okay, here's a valuable card. Let's go find this. They find it somehow, whatever. And then they dig it up. They open a box, and in there is a fake Charizard because they pickpocketed me. Fuck you.
A good fake one.
So it's good enough for people who don't know Pokemon cards who would think that it's real.
Yeah.
And then they try and go sell it. And then the person who's buying it tells them it's fake and then their dreams are squashed. But they went on this whole mission.
Yo, yeah. That is cruel.
That's what you get for pickpocketing me.
The other thing that they can find on me is like, you know, the paper that you find the Gatsby in, like a pie chips.
Yeah.
But like no Gatsby, it's just like a pie chips left over.
Or you know what, like an envelope, no? But inside, no? It's like just filled with the flakes of like pie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but if there was a way to make it that you could only open it inside your car. So like they open the thing and then it's
you must write on the envelope where it says like just, open in car. Like,
yes.
The car is just, a tin of that super stinky fish. But they don't know. And then they open it and then they just like start vomiting.
Way I've seen people like throwing up just from the smell of it. Like, nah, never.
Do you remember there was a time, I don't know if it's still going, but like when people used to give you invites to like 21st birthdays and stuff, sometimes when you open the card, like there's like a fake butterfly in it that like springs out.
No.
And it's like, it's almost like a flat thing. So if the card is closed or the envelope's closed, you don't know it's in there. Then you open it and it's almost like a spring-loaded like butterfly that goes like and it like flaps its wings.
That's fancy. But I just got told.
No, but so we like, I was driving and my girlfriend was in the passenger seat and we got it like an invite from someone at college. And then she opened it in the car and this butterfly sprang out and we both shat ourselves because we didn't know it was about to happen and I almost crashed the car. That just reminded me of that, like just driving and then I think, see this thing like zip across my face from the passenger side. Crap,
what the fuck?
Yeah. And she didn't know what it was either. She thought it was a real animal.
That's such a hazard.
Yeah.
Please open when in a safe area.
Yeah, they should have said that, definitely.
But for now, we are going on to the main section.
Tell us what you want people to find when they loot you.
What you want to find on you when we loot you. Okay, we won't really loot you, but like if we do.
I'm not going to rule it out.
Yeah, if it sounds like there's something valuable on your mind.
It is always loafing for stuff. Yeah, so I don't put it past, but we don't condone it. Yeah, we don't condone his actions. But now time for the main section of our show and we're doing something new going forward. And that is, we're talking about must play games from every genre.
Mm.
Today we're starting off with the first person shooter.
Boom.
Okay, can I go first? Because I think I have the least to say.
Go first, go for it.
Okay, right. So basically I just want to go through this. It's like, it doesn't have to be a game that like you love. It's just a game you think everybody should experience at least once.
Yeah.
because you think it's jazz or you think it's cack, but it's cack in like a fun way. Like whatever. Like that's the vibes. So Saeed is ready with his homework. Let's go.
Yeah. Two honorable mentions. Firstly, Painkiller. Always fun to play. Everybody should try it. You probably won't like it if you play it for the first time in 2024.
Yeah.
But it's so fun. And I think I can look past the game shortcomings or a film or anything shortcomings if the people took big swings. If you take a swing, I'll always respect you for taking a swing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like you just want people to try.
If you go for something, I have to respect the fact that you took the risk and you went for it. But if you're painting by numbers and everything is the same, then it's like
Call of Duty.
It didn't need to exist. Second one is Bulletstorm. Super, super fun game. Also, I haven't finished it, but I enjoyed the time I spent with it and I want to finish it someday. I don't know how well it will hold up, but try it out. I think Brad said it's free on something.
I've got a feeling it's free on PlayStation Plus. I've got a feeling. But give me a rundown on what it is, because I can picture the cover. That's all.
Basically, it's like every other game where you are like in an army kind of a buzz.
Okay.
I might be wrong with the specifics because I played it like once, like 12 years ago, 14 years ago. But there's like so many, all these guns and they all have like different like things that you can do with them. So like there's a gun where you can like shoot people, but you can also pull them back towards you and shoot them again.
Oh,
like,
that's cool. Okay.
So like there's all these different mechanics that all these guns have. Yeah. It's kind of like another game from that time that reminds me of, but it's like Singularity.
Mm-hmm.
Where like you can, that's the one where you can turn back time and stuff, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's been a very long time.
So you can turn back like time in that game to like make sure that the bullet hits or something.
That's cool.
But yeah, so like I haven't played that game enough. I haven't played a lot recently enough to give you like a proper rundown of it. But I'm sure like if it's on PlayStation or if you see the trailer, you'll be sold.
For me, it looks like it's still full price on PlayStation Store. Oh, I'm not sure.
It was on something. Is it not on Xbox?
It
was
on Game Pass. I don't know.
On Game Pass, but
it was on something recently.
This is outside of, like, I'm not logged in to the PlayStation Store. So it might be on PS Plus, like available on, like, on the games catalog. Because I do have it like in my library. So I do have it somehow. But the best way I would describe that, it's like, it's kind of like Devil May Cry, like in terms of like that style, like style focused combat.
Yeah.
And Doom. And it's kind of like meshed those two
but
styles.
First person.
But a first person shooter where it's just, it encourages you to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Nice. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. So my actual choice is one of my favorite games of all time. I think it's probably in my top five games of all time, just in terms of I've played this game. I've played so many hours of this game. And also, this is the only game that I back myself in against people.
Got you.
Like, the only game. Like, there's no, like FIFA, Guitar Hero, none of that stuff. Like, I won't ever like be like, go up against someone and be like, oh, I can probably beat them or I can keep up. This is the only game. And it's Quake 3.
Nice.
Right? That's the most... For me, this is exactly what I want out of a multiplayer shooter or anything like that because it doesn't have... There's no extras. You don't need to know about like...
Yeah.
There's no care package or care drops or whatever. Like there's no... Nobody's a sniper. Nobody's anything. Everybody has the same... You don't choose your class before everybody has the same stuff.
You choose a look, but that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody must just do what they... What they need to do to survive in this game, right? Mm. I like the fact that the weapon pool is a small weapon pool.
Yeah.
So like you can realistically be good with everything, but you will still have something that you lean towards, right? For me, I always enjoy the rocket launcher because I like the timing of like I shoot you at your feet and then you know what I mean? I don't need to hit you directly. I just need to hit around you.
Yeah.
I like that splash damage of that thing. I like the fact that like you can play like with a railgun and if you are, time somebody
you can, like,
with a railgun. You can time somebody with a rocket launcher. You know what I mean? The rocket launcher times were always way more difficult because I feel like they weren't always consistent.
Yeah.
There's but nothing.
The railgun was like,
the railgun,
if you could nail it down.
The railgun was cool. And like my favorite stage is the longest yard, Q3 DM17. It's the one where there's like, it's in space. Then there's like, four launch pads in the middle and then one on top and you go up.
There's like four platforms.
Yeah.
So you go like
you go there and then there's squad damage right on top.
Yes.
That's my favorite stage, no? Like that thing is, I think that's perfect for the game. And it's and the thing I like about it, it's a small stage. Yeah. There's no way to hide in that
compact,
game. You need to just play.
We used to play that in, we did computer science, high grade. And so we used to go to Rhodes because Rhodes High School, because it wasn't at our high school. And we had to do it after school. So yeah, we used to drink that like a stupid amount of time because that was just on the PC. So yeah. We would like just drink that all the time.
Yeah.
And I remember like how much fun.
The best. That local landing together with your mates and doing that. It's just
like
just
you could play like 20 people in a game.
So good.
Yeah, it was chaotic, but it was like fun, man.
Yeah.
Like that was the best. And I went to a small high school, like I've told you guys before, like my whole class played that game. We all played it at the same time and the same map, and we all like it was so lekker. And like that stage, and there's also the campground stage as well. I don't know if you remember. I don't know how to explain the campground stage, but it's like it's much bigger, and then there's like this almost like a four-year kind of a thing where there's like a launch pad that goes like frick high in the middle.
I think I remember it.
Upper levels.
There's two upper levels,
I know which
one. So that campground. So that's like the other one that I would also play.
Is that one of the lava that I'm trying, that I'm thinking of now?
Was the lava?
Yeah, I think there was one of the like lava.
I can't remember now. So like, yeah. And like, the thing is like, but I still remember all those stages. I remember how to play, like how to approach each stage after this time. Like they really went out of their way to make things that felt like if I think like, you know, the Brown, the surfboard and the hoverboard Anarchy. Like
that was my guy.
Like his stage is so, like his design is so cool and his stage is so cool because like that's a 1v1 stage, no? Because it's so small and it's compact, but there's so many spaces to hide in it. And like everybody plays different.
Man. I loved it.
Also, I love the fact that I would play with the bots a lot, like when I would just play alone. And like, I felt like we all knew like which were our favorite bots to play with because I felt like they all played differently.
Yeah.
And they all had like different levels of intelligence and things like that. And like,
and made things, it made things interesting because you had like human opponents, but you could also have bots which could like disrupt like the run of play, which was lekker because it's like, bot, usually you think like, bot, it just does usual things. But when you're playing with other players as well, it's like, it just makes it like liquor disruptive, man. So it throws a spanner in the works all the time, like for people.
Yeah.
And it also gives like people who are struggling like a chance to like farm kills.
Yeah.
Which is jazz.
Yeah, for sure. And like the reason why I say this is a must play is because I genuinely think it holds up. Like if you try to play it now, it runs so smooth, and it's the only thing now is finding people to play with. Because like, you can still play with the bots, and it's still fun. Like I play it from time to time on Steam, and it's liquor, and it holds up, bro. Like in terms of just being a fun game to play, you don't need to like learn. You don't need to learn like all these different like meta things to
it's
like
just run, jump, shoot. That's
exactly,
what it is.
And like it's like skill.
Yeah,
like you can pick it up. Like if you played it a lot. And you play for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You feel like you're getting back to where you were, bro. Like
100%.
It's so liquor. And like another thing now that got me into this game, and I also want to maybe even falls under like a kids don't remember kind of thing, was like, you know, those frag videos.
Yes.
Remind me.
It was basically just like the kill comps and stuff. So like people would make like the
like
frag,
on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah,
like I thought like after each match you got like a rundown.
They would do the frag videos, right? And like I remember before when we used to play this game all the time, there was one video we always used to watch. It's from QuakeCon 2002. No,
Look at this.
They play Run DMC. It's tricky and it's everything is synced up to that song.
That's cool.
All the kills and stuff. No, it's so quiet. Like. My cousins, I still talk about that to this day. We'll be like, you remember that video?
So
like,
we'll drop that in the description as well.
I will 100%. I love that video so much. And it's like, we would watch that before we played to get amped. And we're like, we're going to try this stuff. We're going to try to do this stuff.
That's cool.
And then you try, but then you never get it. You're like, how do they do this?
Yeah, the game also had liquor mods. When I got it from my cousin the first time, I had like, you could mod characters into it, right?
Yes.
So then I had like Homer Simpson, and then there was a camper, which was like a bra in a tent with legs.
Yes.
And like they had like all these different people, like the people that I didn't know, like weren't actually part of the game until I actually got it on Steam. And I was like, oh wait, so you the camper wasn't real, like all these things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, oh bro, it's just really like I love that game so much, bro.
I can see in his eyes. I love that game so much. The man is like, he's taking to like a good place now.
Yeah. That was always the best. Like, I don't think I was ever very good at the game, but I enjoyed playing it still.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't frustrating when you lost. It was always like good game, like to your friends. It wasn't like, you didn't get annoyed when you when you died or whatever. So much fun. I played it recently as well. It's on PC Game Pass.
Yeah.
Quake 1, 2, and 3 are on PC Game, and 4, actually. Yeah. But I installed Quake 3 immediately because, and there's still a lot of people online actually.
Through the Game Pass thing. Because I struggle to find people who try to play like through like Steam.
Yeah. And yeah, it's so much fun. I still love it. And
I'm sure there must be like a decent enough community.
If you guys want to play, if you guys want to play Quake 3, please.
Said will
please send us a message.
Said to be our sacrifice.
I really want to play Quake 3, please.
He feeds himself. So he will moor him if he doesn't. If he doesn't. Represent as well.
Cool.
But yeah, that's
my
game.
Is that yours?
Yeah, that's my game.
Me, who wants to go?
I'll go next. So we got given a list of all these things that we're going to talk about going forward, like first-person shooter, action-adventure, platformer, blah, blah, blah. I almost went with the first game that came to my mind. So like you said, it's not the best.
Yeah.
It's not your favorite, but it's the first one that comes to mind. And my one is Doom 2016. Okay. Now, I could have gone with Doom, the original Doom, because that was the OG. Yeah. I still remember my dad and his colleagues playing that when I was a kid and going to their work. They're like, that's Brad, wild. You can't watch us playing Doom. And then Doom 2 is amazing. And just on this note, Doom 1 and 2 remastered have launched on all platforms.
Yeah.
And if you owned them before, it's a free upgrade.
Yeah.
It's free on Game Pass as well, because obviously Xbox owns Bethesda, who now...
But it's like $60 for like for both if you want to buy it.
And it's mod support. It's 4K 60 frames per second. You can make it look old school or modern. You can play it with modern music or the old school music. Yeah, you can switch between immediately. It's really cool. But anyway, but I chose Doom 2016 just because it when I first played it and I played it later on, I think I only played it in like 2018. Oh. Actually, I'm talking nonsense. I played it in 2020. I played it during lockdown. That was the first time I played this.
It took you that long to get you to it.
Yeah. And I don't really know why. Like, Doom was never, like, my favorite...
shooter franchise.
Like, Doom 1, obviously, everyone had it on their computers growing up. Like, when we were kids, we just had it. And Doom 3, I really liked. But I never finished it. Mm. And I never had a computer powerful enough to play it. So I think I said it in one of our very older episodes. I always used to go down the road to the internet cafe to play it. But anyway, that's why I don't think I got Doom 2016 immediately as it came out, because I never felt like a kinship to the brand or to the game. But then when I got it, my mind was blown. Like, like from when you start, it just throws you into the shit and you just got to learn and you've just got to play. But it's not... Anyway, so the way I'm doing my things a lot lately is a big info dump, but then it gets us into talking about certain things, right? So the thing I love about this, it's fast-paced, it's gory, but it's fun. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not a slog to play through. You want to run, you want to pick up that chainsaw, you want to blast the demon's head off. Like, it's fun. It feels fun. It feels like you're doing something. It's not just like walk, shoot, pick up card. Open this door. It feels fun. You want
to
play it.
It feels similar to the game I'm going to talk about, but it feels like the gameplay feels like very kinetic.
Exactly.
Like you're constantly moving. You're constantly doing stuff.
And
like,
you can't stand still. If you stand still, you will die.
Yeah, you will. And it feels like you're doing something wrong if you're like just standing still.
Exactly.
Like trying to like pick off enemies. You have to move.
Yeah. And it like in that way, it also like it almost plays like a homage to the first person shooters like of late, like the very older first person shooters where there's no reloading almost. It's just push forward, shoot, go. You do collect cards to open doors, obviously, but like...
Yeah, but it focuses on action rather than like...
Yeah.
It's not like cover-based or like Call of Duty where it's like, okay, you need to like measure out every battle. It's you have to do it, but like you got to move, you got to think on the fly. It's fast.
Yeah. And we mentioned Noclip earlier, the documentary channel. Now there's such a cool, I think it's like a 3-part documentary on Noclip where... he goes to ID in, I think it's Dallas, Texas, and he interviews the people who made it. And that was one of the things they said. So basically, the story isn't important in the game. There is a story, but if you don't pay attention to the story at all, it doesn't make a difference. They literally said the story isn't important. And it's like a good example of this is like right at the beginning when you wake up and you get your armor and you get your first gun, you get into an elevator, or just before you get into an elevator, there's like a voiceover that starts playing like, you need to do this and this is, and then the Doom guy just smashes the screen, throws it away and just gets on with the game. And like, that's all was almost the developer's way of saying like, this is the game you're getting yourself into.
Have they ever adapted it for anything besides the Rock movie? Like,
no, but that was an adaptation of Doom 3.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's more Doom 3. I think it's very like
Doom 3 was
Doom
the
lore is wild and it's
really is
difficult to like explain it, because the thing is like the Doom Slayer is like you the scary monster in the whole story. It's like when you wake up on that sarcophagus, they literally find you in hell, like strapped in the sarcophagus.
Yeah.
And they wake you up, and it's like, no, they trapped you there because like you are killing all of them, like,
exactly,
all the demon hordes. And it's like, yeah, you're the big bad in this story.
Yeah, you're not trapped in hell with the demons; they're trapped in hell with you. Like, and that's what makes it cool. Like, you feel like this badass, like killing machine.
I was just thinking they should like for to me, when I think about it, like that the guy from Reacher, I feel like he would be a dope Doom Slayer because he's got the size and he can also play that kind of a.
Yeah, that's true. Doom guy is just aggressive as hell.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, like there's no reloading of weapons. There's no cover system. It's just run and gun. There are some tactics needed. Like some enemies react better to a certain gun or stuff like that. But like, for example, some of the tactics that are needed, like you're always going to be hit with stuff. So your health is almost always going to be low in a way. But in order to get the health back, there's a thing called glory kills. So when you stagger the enemies, then like they start flashing and then they stop moving, and then you go up to them and basically just destroy them in like a quick time event looking kind of thing. Yeah. And that gives you health back. You don't have to do that. You could just shoot them with one more bullet and they're down, but then you don't get the health from them.
Yeah.
Or later on in the game, you get a chainsaw.
And it gives you ammo.
And if you use the chainsaw on the enemies, they drop ammo for you. Or you can pick up ammo throughout the game, but that's a way to replenish your ammo and your health throughout, like while these waves of enemies are coming at you, which I think is so cool. And obviously you can't just always be chainsawing people, enemies down. You need gas in order to power the chainsaw, or the chainsaw does work on like the lower level enemies all the time with a little time limit in between. So that's almost where the tactics come into play, but it's mainly just, they actually call it push forward combat. That's what they call it at.
That's
at
cool.
Ed.
Like it's constantly making you like, you need to get
Yes.
Ed. It's like, you can't. Like, I feel like modern shooters, like, especially the hyper-real stuff, it's always, like, holding back and, like, trying to, like, clear a path.
This is like, and, like, there's blood in your eyes and it's like...
Yeah, this is, like, run at the problem.
You have to, so here's a little bit of an info dump. So Doom 2016 originally began its development as Doom 4. So Doom 3 came out, and a couple of years later, they started making Doom 4, right? This is before Bethesda had acquired ZeniMax, who owns
ID. And
so
all of that,
Dude, this came out in 2016.
Yes.
And Doom 3, wasn't Doom 3 like 2005?
2003.
So that whole time that...
So basically...
it was like a lull where they were like...
Doom 3, I think, wasn't as well received as
kind of
they would have liked. And I think Doom 3 was really cool, but there was too much of a focus on story and too much of a focus on like not combat. It was
the survival horror more than like pure action.
Exactly.
Combat.
And I think they got the survival horror elements of it pretty good. I think it's a scary game. There's a lot of jump scares, and
I think it took away a little bit of like that power fantasy of the original Doom.
No, absolutely.
And this like kind of ramped that power fantasy.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah. So in that documentary by Noclip, which we'll also pop in the description here, he goes to ID in Dallas and interviews these guys, as I said. So in one of the parts of the Noclip documentary, Doom creative director Hugo Martin described Doom 4 while they were busy making it. He described it as being about the global impact of a hellish invasion and compared it to the 1997 film Contact. The game was influenced by the Call of Duty series, featuring passive health regeneration and emphasis on using cover and scripted cinematics. Developers and fans, while it was being made, called it Call of Doom.
That's elite.
Yeah. Now, and in this NoClip documentary, you see some of the early access footage of it, and you can see it just doesn't feel like a Doom game.
Like, yeah.
And then, but then, in while it was busy being developed, Bethesda acquired ZeniMax, who owns id, and more money was put into the company, obviously, and more people came in, right? So then they started developing the game Rage at the same time.
I remember.
Yeah.
Rage flopped also.
So then Rage flopped.
Like a notorious flop.
Yeah. So Rage flopped when it came out, and then id basically scrapped all the work they'd done on Doom 4 up to then, because they were like, okay, we need to change our ways. You're completely.
Yeah, yeah.
So they scrapped it completely and restarted development. Now
like,
with
what?
But now they've great. Yeah. Like. And now they've got the Bethesda money. You know what I mean? Now they could have scrapped it. They could scrap it and get more people on to get it up.
Yeah.
So then development of Doom 2016 focused primarily on refining its combat. And like I said earlier, it was dubbed push forward combat. Like the creative director actually called it that. Then it was released and it blew up, man. Everyone loved it. And like I said, it's just fun. And the gunplay it feels so good and it feels so satisfying. Yeah. Like every time you hit an enemy, like a big brute enemy with a shotgun, you can see parts of their body flinging off, and then they'll keep coming for you until you gun them down properly.
It was just like a refreshing to come out and be
exactly
so different from every other game.
100%.
That so was everything like, was going like this hyper real
military
shooter style.
Yeah.
And Doom was like, just went against the grain. It was like, no reloading, no cover system, just like action focused.
Exactly.
What made Doom great? And I think that's what sold a lot of people, because it was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Like, you wanted a new shooter that just did something different.
Exactly. And what I also loved about it is like, outside of the combat sections, of which obviously there are plenty, there are little like lulls in the game where there's like platforming that you need. Yes. So you need to like jump up and grab things and double jump sometime. No, there's no double jump, I don't think, in this one. But like there's an emphasis on collectibles as well. So there's collectible toys throughout the game.
Yes, so and the Doom figurines. That
yeah. You get. And I think that was so much fun. So it's like almost like an extra thing to like 100% the game. And it's so much fun.
There's also, it really is. I know you know this. Yep. There's like sections of the games, like secret areas that are rendered in like the original Doom 1.
Oh, that's quite.
Yeah.
So it's like small little mini sections.
Yeah.
And it's such a lovely touch to the game.
It's quite when games are like proud of the history, man.
Yes.
Because like sometimes games want to like be like, no, we're not like that anymore. But like that's why people like
modern.
You.
We modern. And it's like, no, this game is like littered with Easter eggs.
Yeah.
And do you, like you know probably, but the game is both like a sequel and a reboot because it references the first Doom games.
Yeah.
But it's also a reboot of the first Doom game.
Exactly. It's
like weird.
It's both of those and neither of those at the same time. Yes. Like I actually saw an interview with, might have been in NoClip, but maybe not, where like someone asked them, is this a sequel? Is this a reboot? And then the guys went, neither. It is, but it isn't. So just enjoy it for what it is. And they did it so well. They really did it so well. And the cool thing is they recreated the enemies from original Doom and obviously brought them into this game and made them feel so much more evil and so much more daunting and dangerous. Like, you know, in the original Doom game, there's like that brown enemy that throws fireballs at you. That's one of the it's an imp in Doom 2016. That's like one of the first enemies you come across.
Like annoying as hell.
Yeah.
I never knew what that was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like you will know very quickly like, what is what.
Because I used to play that Doom 1 like a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I shouldn't have been playing it.
No.
Like,
none of us should have.
Yeah. But also then it's also like, it's crazy. Like would you consider that if you were to see Doom, the original Doom now, would you consider that like a violent kind of game that people shouldn't, because just based off the way it looks,
it's so
far from being realistic.
Yeah.
That it's almost like, it seems like, maybe at the time that was
back
like what passed for like,
yeah,
but like
back then it was like revolutionary what they were doing in terms of like graphics and things like that.
Because I'm just thinking like now, if I look back, even like when I used to play it back in the day, like it never felt like
violent.
Oh, this is a. It didn't even register to me that I was playing with guns. Like, do you know what I mean?
I get you. But like, there are certain aspects of it. Like, I remember when I first played Doom, and like you know, when you got hit, when your health was low, then your image on the bottom middle,
your brother,
the blood was like coming out of his face and stuff like that. And I was like, shit, that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
And then like sometimes when you kill one of the Or no, you see like old or Doom Marines that had been on the planet before and you see their dead bodies and stuff like that. If you look close enough, you can see what it is, but often it just looks like this little...
I was just looking for keys, but when I was playing, like, my whole thing was, I need to find the key to this room. Like, but that was my whole thing.
But even Doom 2016 and the subsequent sequel, it's violent and it's graphic, but in a comic, in like a funny way almost. Like,
it's so over the top that it's like, you can't take it seriously. No. Like,
it's not like a Resident Evil or like a Manhunt. Even Painkiller Manhunt, like where the violence is
disturbing almost. Yeah. It's kind of like, it is so over the top that you go this isn't real. Like, and you also tell this is not real.
Yeah. And you're also not killing things that look like humans in a way, which maybe there's a disconnect there. You know what I mean? Yeah. I guess one of the, like, there's the zombie enemies. Oh no, there are a few human-like enemies, but...
Yeah, but for the most part, it's like big things.
Yeah.
There's some like earthquake, like when you shoot people, they just blow up into bits, and they're gone.
Yeah.
Like there's no bodies left behind.
I will say though, like, it is a difficult game.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
It's hard.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's very difficult for newcomers, even for like experienced players. And it is because the game encourages you to play more kinetically, like to attack everything, to fight. And like... It's challenging.
It's a challenging game, definitely. But that makes it all the more satisfying when you finally clear an area.
Yeah.
And you use the right gun on the right enemy and you blew up the right tank or whatever to destroy a lot of the smaller enemies. It feels so good when you finally clear an area that you've been struggling with for such a long time.
Yeah.
But one of the last things I want to talk about this game is the soundtrack. And
Doom is technically a game, a soundtrack that comes with a free game.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, it's proper, maybe not proper, but it's just heavy metal. It feels kinetic and it feels like the music is almost reacting to what you're doing in the game.
Yeah.
So like, it feels so good. And Mick Gordon, who did it, if you haven't seen it yet, go watch, maybe we'll put this in the description as well, but go watch his performance at the Game Awards 2016. It's just so good. It's Mick Gordon on guitar and his band performing the music from Doom. I think it's BFG Division and Rip and Tear. I think those are the two songs that he plays. And they're so good. And that actually, at that Game Awards, won... So Doom as a whole won Best Action Game. And it won Best Music and Sound Design at the same Game Awards. Which I think...
No, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't challenge that.
Yeah, and we're not going to talk about the problems that happened for Doom Eternal, but the soundtrack in Doom 2016 is just so good.
I'm just seeing here that there's... you can buy the soundtrack on vinyl for like $65.
Oh, yo, and it's red.
And it's like red, and it's like four sides.
Yes, that's cool.
It looks so cool.
Yeah. And I mean, just the last thing about this, it released to very positive reviews, as I'm sure we can imagine. And then it spawned a sequel later on called Doom Eternal.
Which is so good.
It's too good, man. It improves on all the right things, except for the soundtrack. But it improves on all the right things from Doom 2016. That's actually why I played Doom 2016, because Eternal came out and it looked so good. So I'm like, I need to play Doom 2016. Oh,
yeah. Just one thing and on that like whole...
Primal is Primal? What's
The Dark Ages is the next one.
Far Cry is Primal.
So just one thing I wanted to touch on, and I think they did this very well, is like, if you look at the aesthetic of Doom 2016, it could so easily be a horror game.
Yeah.
But the way they position you, the way they use music, everything just makes you feel like, like, you're not afraid of anything, and like, you are here to clean house.
And I just love, like for example, I think the main bad guy in Doom 2 is the Baron of Hell, or Doom 1 even. He's the big boss.
Doom 1 was the lead scientist that Olivia...
No. Sorry, I'm talking OG Doom.
Yes.
So like the main big boss in OG Doom was the Baron of Hell, I think.
Yes.
And then in Doom 2016 and Eternal, they just random enemies that spawn up. And I'm like, dude, come on. So the big boss from the OG Doom game is just...
he's just a random.
Yeah. But talking about difficulty as well, Doom Eternal takes the difficulty up to the next level.
Yeah, it takes that gameplay and just ramps it up.
And the cool thing about it is like, we'll talk about Doom Eternal very quickly, but like certain enemies you need to harm them with certain guns. So like there's the big brute guy, I forget his name now.
Which one? The
big fat guy with one eye.
Yes, I know which one.
Anyway, but like you have to, in Doom Eternal, you have to use the sniper scope on your one weapon to destroy his arm cannons, or else he will just destroy you. So you almost have to pick and choose what you're going to do first. As you enter an arena, you destroy all the enemy's strong points.
Yeah.
And then you just run and gun. So much fun, man. So much fun.
So it's nice to actually have like that element where it's like, you don't have to take out an enemy like fully. It's like, I can injure you, take out those few, move it out to a new position, and like work your way almost like systematically around and like make it easier. But it requires you to like think on the fly. And
But yeah, I've revisited. So one of the questions is, does it hold up? And I still think 8 years later, it holds up. Because it's also been now that, because Microsoft owns Bethesda, who published Doom on the Xbox and on the PS5, obviously. But like what the fuck is the word I'm looking for? I'm like,
remastered?
Not remastered, but like...
like upscaled.
Yeah. So basically it's like, it's upscaled for the latest...
for new gen, yeah.
But with HDR and ray tracing and everything like that. Yeah. So you can still play Doom 2016 now on a PS5 and a Xbox.
How's the game with a PS5 controller? Like, it must be mad.
I haven't played it on PS5. I only played Doom 2016 on PS4 and now on Xbox Series.
Oh, okay.
Check it out. I don't know if it's optimized for like haptic, so...
Because I was thinking, like, if it was, that must be like an experience and a half to play that game.
Actually, now that I'm thinking,
your battery would die so quickly.
Dark Ages might be,
might be crazy.
Dark Ages definitely will,
because I feel like you're gonna feel every shot. Like,
but I'm definitely getting that on Xbox though.
That is okay. That just changed everything.
Yeah, although Dark Ages, I'm definitely getting on Xbox, obviously, because it'll be free on Game Pass day one. So, but yeah, I'm so looking forward to that game as well.
But if you have a code for it, send it to Brad.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, that would be very nice.
Okay, so for my must-play FPS, I was like racking my brain because there's a few. But the one that I fell onto that I think deserves a lot of love is Titanfall 2. Mm. Titanfall 2, sequel to the first Titanfall. And yeah, was initially a bit of a commercial failure. It didn't do as well as what they had hoped.
Yeah.
And subsequently... kind of like fell into obscurity, but then found like a new fan base, and there's a lot of love for it. And because of that love, it spawned Apex Legends, which is set basically in the same universe.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they tied. So like there are characters in Apex who are tied to Titanfall 2.
That's cool.
Because it's set like years after. And a lot of the combat from Apex is from Titanfall 2, so you can feel it in there. And yeah, Titanfall 2, just everything you said about Doom, it's so similar. It's kinetic. The combat is kinetic. It's fun. It encourages you to like play big. And I'm not even talking about like the Titans. Like, that's like a whole different aspect to the game. Let's go into the story. Basically, you play as like you play as a mercenary who's like you betrayed your predecessor, is like killed, and then they hand over control of their Titan, and basically you are hunting down the Apex Legends and the IMC, who's like this big multinational corporation. So like the Apex Predators are like the top Titan pilots in the universe. Also, you play like a bra with the most boring name ever, Jack Cooper. Like, no effort was put into that name. So you're actually like a frontier for the militia, like who's fighting against the IMC, who's like it's globalization basically. And yeah, you dare to take them out. But again, I think like the story is great, but it's not the focal point. It's the action that really sells you. And again, it's about movement. The game is like 90% about movement. Like, while you do have like the cover elements of like you gotta hide and pick out, there's also wall running, double jumping, and that makes it like it flows so well, because it's like every line of attack is like, okay, the enemy is here, and maybe like they drop a Titan in the center of the area. So now you're like, what is the optimal way to get there? Like, how do I take out? Do I wall run up here? Do I double jump? Do I take enemies out here? It's constantly keeping you in that state of what is like your options, like what is going to be like the most fun you're going to have. And it really translates very well because you can just do what you want to, like, in terms of that. And it has good, like, weapon set as well. Now,
can I ask, why did the game flop? Or why did it not take? Okay. Why? Because all I've heard, all I know about this game is that people say, it's such a shame this game didn't succeed because it's so good.
So this is why it failed for two reasons. So the first game, Titanfall, was a multiplayer only Xbox One exclusive.
Okay.
And that kind of didn't do well because people complained. Why is there no single player campaign? Like, you know, it's like, it would be cool to like have something where you can play on your own. The other one was that the game dropped. It was like in October and it dropped between the launch of Battlefield 1 and Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Oh, okay.
They literally threw it out like between like two massive first person shooters and they couldn't compete with that.
Yeah.
I mean, EA, who also published Battlefield, they would have been like, nah, you're not going to get the marketing budget.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a shame because they thought they were going to sell more, but it's like, people obviously get a flock to Battlefield and like because Titanfall didn't do well, people are going to be like, I'm not going to bother with this.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why it didn't get the fanfare that it should have gotten. It's also why people invest like a fracking to marketing. So let's just go back to like the single player campaign. Like what I love about it is every level feels like very different and they make it feel like unique, the level specific puzzle. So like there's one very, everybody talks about this and this is cause and effect and there's a reason why they talk about it. So anyways, the IMC is basically researching something that deals with like time travel and that because of course they are.
Yeah.
And you get a hold of like this watch that can take you between time and you're in this complex that's like, it's dilapidated where you are currently. But to traverse it, you have to go back in time to traverse certain areas that are broken. Then go back forward, like you go forward in time, back to where it was, and you like traverse
I've
it
heard
like
very good things about this level, yeah.
And it just feels unique, man.
Is it on Game Pass? So you're going to try it out?
I think I will, yeah.
Yeah, and I think like, again, then you bring in things like the Titans, which make the battles feel like so much bigger, like Doom makes you feel big because it's like you're fighting things that are bigger than you, but are scared of you, essentially. This is like, let's just throw in big robots that can all do like unique things. Like one enemy might have like a mech with a sword. So now you have to attack him from like long range. One has like heavy rocket fire. So now you have to like close the gap. It's all, it makes it like a lot of like fun and dynamic and it makes the boss battles feel fun. Like there's and there's always other enemies that are like attacking you in the mix.
That's cool.
Which is like, why are you here? Why are you I'm in a giant robot, my guy. Like, please leave me the fuck alone. And like I think there's like a lot of room for like growth. Like you were saying with Quake, it's like it's easy enough for anybody to join on and not feel cack. This is the same way, it's like easy enough for new players where it kind of encourages you to like just try different things. It's not like, oh no, I'm going to get frustrated. Like I feel like Doom is a little bit too hard because like, you must play this way. This is like, you can play slow if you want to, but you can also make it fast. But that also gives it a very high ceiling in terms of what you can do. And I think that's what also like supported the online multiplayer scene because the scene went on for years. I don't know if it's still active.
I think it might still be. Cause I saw
the only problem is like people were like hacking like the whole time. They were hacking people and it was just like, you're ruining it for everyone. And people are still hoping for a Titanfall 3 to come out. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they poured all their resources into Apex Legends.
Yeah.
Which is good. I feel like they've toned down a lot of the movement and the combat. Because, like, you can't go that batshit crazy in, like, a competitive shooter. But they get enough that makes you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's like Apex, I always enjoyed it because, again, it's more focused on like movement rather than just gunplay. Mm. It's like, how can you outflank somebody?
Yeah.
How can you get them? Like if you're running in the open, it's like they can hit you from any angle. So you need to think like, where's cover? Where's this? How do I move? And that is like, it makes it like a little bit more engaging than standard.
Yeah.
Line of sight. I need to get to there, or I need to get to there. How do I push forward? Flashbang. Da, da, da. This is like, okay, there's like an area I can jump down, wall, run up, flank them there. Then like dive behind cover, flank this guy. Yeah. So
that's
it
cool.
Gives you all those like lines, yeah, which is like fun. And I think it does. It's good for like new players, and I think it's free on PS Plus and on Game Pass.
Are we talking Apex or Titanfall now?
No, Titanfall 2.
Okay.
I think it is. I'm not sure.
It's definitely on Game Pass, but I think it's on PS Plus as well.
It is on PS Plus, and I'd highly, highly recommend people like just try it out.
Can I just say, I think it's on Game Pass if you have Game Pass Premium or Ultimate, because then you get EA Play with it.
It probably is. Yeah. I'm actually checking now, but I think, yeah, it's a game like you should check out. I know everybody talks to death about it. It's a fun campaign. You know, it's like a typical like action movie, B-grade plot. I mean, you can tell by the name Jack Cooper. Like, they put a placeholder name and they like forgot about it. And they were like, okay, we'll just go with that. But you kind of get invested in it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I actually want to go play. I actually want to play
I'm
it.
Like, go play it now. Well, yeah.
I played it like probably like 3 years ago last, and it really, yeah, see, it's included with EA Play.
Yeah.
So I think if you have PS Plus Premium, then you get it. But there is a trial version.
Yeah.
And it's only like $380 if you want to buy it on PS, on PlayStation. So it's not bad. I think it's worth it, even if it's just for the single player. Campaign is not too long, but yeah. And then I'm not sure if there's still a multiplayer community that's out there.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think, look, try it out. It might not be for you, but I enjoyed it. I think it straddles that line of being like competitive, but also like casual and fun and like silly almost, that like anybody can enjoy.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah, go show it some support. Yeah, I'm supporting. Oh, just fun little fact. This is done by Respawn Entertainment, who was founded from the original guys who made the original, well, with Infinity Ward, who did the original Call of Duty 1 and Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the first.
Yeah.
And Modern Warfare 2, which is the best one. Not the new one, the 2009 one.
OG, so like, Modern Warfare 2 is so good.
Yeah, so it's guys who know about the shooters.
That's amazing.
So yeah, go check it out. Then it's just Yasin. Yasin sent us his must play, which is Duke Nukem.
I only played it once as a lighty, but then I played it at my friend's house, and then his mommy came in and saw we were playing it, and she said, no, you can't play this. And then I never played it again.
That's when you know it's a must play.
I never played it again.
Duke Nukem could have been on my list as a must play as well, to be honest with you. Like, we're talking Duke Nukem 3D now, obviously, and that was my generation's Doom in a way. Because
it was that just post Doom, where there was like a shitload of Doom clones.
But also it was controversial because of all the implied nudity. There's no nudity in that game at all.
Like, if you look at it now, you could be like, well, what am I looking at?
But it's so good. Like, what they did was create a good protagonist in Duke Nukem. He's an asshole, and he's like, it's like the Johnny Bravo of first person shooters, basically.
He's such a product of the time, man. Yeah. Like, he is such a product of the time.
But it's fun levels, fun level design. Also, just, I've got nothing bad to say about it, aside from that it hasn't aged very well.
I think, like, for me, it's a Doom clone, yes.
Yeah.
It's a blatant Doom clone, but it does enough of its own thing to make it, like, fun and engaging and, like, for you not to think that it's a Doom clone also.
Exactly.
So it's also, I think it's on PS Plus and on Xbox Game Pass as well. I'm not sure. I think
I don't know if it's on Game Pass.
Let's check. Duke Nukem 3D. Because there's three, this world tour.
Wasn't the 20, the, was it 2016? The,
no, 2011.
2011.
The sequel that they waited years for.
Yeah. Oh, did you guys play that?
No.
No, I don't want to play it because of how bad it was received. Like, yeah. Fans of the game. I don't consider myself like a big fan of Duke Nukem, but people were big fans of it. Hated it. They were like, it's so outdated.
I remember like a couple of years after Duke Nukem 3D came out, then the trailers on like all the gaming magazines started, the gaming magazines had their CDs and they had the trailer for Duke Nukem Forever on it.
Mm.
But this was in like 1998.
Oh.
But it looked so good. It looked so amazing. And I'm like, holy shit, if this is where the next Duke Nukem's going, it's going to be amazing. And then it was stuck in development hell for years and years.
This was like ages because it came out like 2011.
Yeah. And then when it came out, I heard all the negative press about it. And I'm like, oh no, that's such a shame.
I think it was like, it was stuck for so long that it got outdated. And it probably didn't have the funds to like rebuild the game. So they were like,
yeah. I will play it one day just to see what it's like. But I saw it, someone was selling it at the Milton Market the other day.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't see how much it was, but it could have been either R5 or R500, depending on who's selling it. But I'll play it one day. I'll play it again. Well, I'll play it for the first time one day. But like Duke Nukem 3D, I think just because of when it came out, that's what made it so like, popular. And like you said, Doom clone, but like does so many things different. Like it's set in, well, I suppose Doom is also set in the real world, but Duke Nukem's like set in cities and and like with real people that you're saving. And yes, the enemies are pigs and things that look like tigers. I don't even know what those original enemies are.
Maybe lizards. They like lizard aliens.
So
I don't
weird.
Even know, like.
And I used to love getting to like the end of each chapter and fighting like the big boss because they were just bullet sponges, but it was just so much fun running around. There was the one guy you fought in like a football stadium.
Yes.
Just running around, hitting him with rockets. And at the end, there's always that like little animation of him like at the football stadium, kicking the boss's head, the eye over the field goal and stuff like that. Very cheesy, like very Johnny Bravo type of a protagonist.
It's so silly. It's ridiculous, actually.
Yeah, and then
I don't know if it holds.
So I played it. There's like a bit of a remaster.
You're talking about the World Tour, this one.
Yes. So I played that on PS4, like back when I had my PS4, and I really enjoyed playing it. It's like, but maybe it's just the nostalgia that's keeping me there. But there wasn't anything where I was like, this hasn't, aside from the actual portrayal of women and everything like that, it hasn't aged poorly in terms of like the gameplay doesn't feel stagnant, it doesn't feel bad. So I enjoyed playing the and also you can I love it when remasters, not that this is really a remaster, it's just a bit smoother. I love it when you can switch between like the old and the new version in the game and stuff like that. That's a lot of fun. And then I would say Duke Nukem 3D actually started the new revolution of, instead of Doom clones, it was Duke Nukem clones going forward. Because then there was Shadow Warrior. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember Shadow Warrior.
That was horrible, but like in a good way as well. Shadow Warrior is basically like you play as like a ninja, like called Lo Wang, and then you have like ninja stars and swords and Uzis and stuff like that. But it's made on the same engine as Duke Nukem and with the same horrible humor. I mean, the women in the game are all like anime woman, like literally all anime woman, whereas the game is presented as realistic.
I've never heard of this game before.
It's actually Shadow Warrior.
The third one that came out like recently, I think.
They like almost remade Shadow Warrior 1 and Shadow Warrior 1, or rebooted it. And so now there's Shadow Warrior 1, 2, and 3, but I think it's a different protagonist. And then there was, what are the other like clones of this that came out? But this, like I said, Duke Nukem almost
it created its own little like pocket of like Doom clones. Okay, so we want to know what you have to say is a must play shooter. So Justin HWH, he says all the old Medal of Honors and old Call of Duties before they added battle royales. Good shout. James Howlett is saying Doom, first one, Quake, Unreal Tournament, Wolfenstein, and GoldenEye.
Yeah, I like those.
Okay, good classics. Shots.
Then there's Alex is saying Doom, especially Doom Eternal, and like saying the old ones are valid too.
Yeah.
Harvey Bentley says, for nostalgia purposes, Soldier of Fortune Platinum Edition. That game was awesome.
Yo, I remember blowing people's limbs off in that game. Yeah, that was so good.
Wild.
Yo.
That was crazy for the time. Gladwin Morio says, Resistance Fall of Man.
That's never played it.
It's okay.
PS3, hey? PS3 exclusives.
It's okay. What's it? Avertnosphere says, Unreal Tournament, which is... That's decent.
Yeah.
I think that's a solid like competitor to Quake 3.
Definitely.
You Can Call Me Geo says Borderlands. I think that's a big shout.
I don't know, hey. That, just not for me. I couldn't get into any of the Borderlands games.
I like them.
They were fun for like 3-4 hours, and then I'm like, okay, it's just getting repetitive now. Yeah. But good games.
LFC Infinity says BioShock. Yes, that's a must. I would say that's a must.
Yeah.
So it will fight you and say it's not the FPS, but he's wrong. I don't know why.
The first BioShock.
I still remember that first BioShock, playing it on Xbox 360, and just when you go underwater and you see the Rapture for the first time, I'm like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah.
Michael Vipkashai says, Destiny for the maps and story, Time Splitters 2 for pure fun. I played a lot of Destiny, and I will say yes, but also be careful that you don't get sucked into the loop because you'll never get out. Sava says Black. It never got enough love. That's a just
game. Agreed.
555X Wasm says, okay. Unreal Tournament.
I thought that was the game, Wasm.
No.
Which one? Unreal Tournament? Just Unreal Tournament.
It just says Unreal Tournament. Okay. Another big shout for that.
Valid.
And then Logan Julia says Quake 4.
Didn't like it when I tried it.
It was too different from 3.
Yeah.
That was too much of a departure. You got some stuff from Insta.
Yeah. So on Insta, shout out to Manichi. They said Borderlands 2. I tried it. I tried that game. I liked it. And then we have NZ Rugby Freak. Gun was on PS2. I just know the cover
me
of
Gun. Too.
I know the cover. Yeah. I never played it. I don't know what it's about.
Never played it. And he also said Borderlands. And he said old school Duke Nukem. So that's what you guys said.
Nice.
My friend Young Im said Time Crisis. How do you feel about that?
See, that's an on-rail shooter technically.
But I think it's valid because it's you shooting and it's in first person.
Yeah.
I would say it's not a first person shooter.
It's a
great game, but I don't think it's a first person.
Do you think it's a first person?
I'm on his side.
I can't.
And then Diego Jafta said it has to be Doom. And he said it's because it's the OG. But basically, because it's the OG.
Yeah.
That's why.
Gave birth to the genre.
It started it all.
Yeah. And then this guy, 777, said Unreal Tournament 3.
Three? That was a good game.
And he said, and Half-Life 2.
Yeah, Half-Life 2 is like a non.
We were having that discussion though. Like,
Half-Life 2 is super just.
It's amazing, but it's a first-person shooter, but...
It doesn't feel like it's a first-person shooter.
Yeah, the Half-Life games and BioShock to an extent, like BioShock Infinite, for example. Yeah. Like,
but they are, like, by genre. By definition, they are.
But, like, my argument is that I think that it's more story-based, but it's using first-person shooter as, like, the way that it's telling the story, but it's not the focus of it.
Yeah.
So I don't think, like, for me, a first-person shooter is when the focus of the game is shooting in first-person. But in Half-Life, it's not.
I think Said is wrong. And it's first-person mechanics, and therefore it's a first-person shooter.
Okay. Let us know what you think, because I fully believe. I understand. Yeah, I see both. I see their side, but I think I'm right.
Okay, guys. That was it for today's podcast.
Yeah. It was a fun one.
It was Jas. We even spoke more about Yasin's game than Yasin did because he was he's sick, apparently, allegedly.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's lying.
But yeah, guys, let us know like what your favorite shooters are. Like, keep it coming. Tell us, give us suggestions for what we need to play. We, as you know, we're on all the socials. We're also setting up a WhatsApp line so you guys can like message us, but look here, no? Guys, just because you can message us doesn't mean we're going to respond immediately.
Yeah. True. Also, like, we're going to be asking questions on our on our pages, and you can send your response there if you want.
Good point.
If you want to interact, yeah, you can do it there.
And then we might even play your voice notes or whatever on. Maybe we'll see.
I'm not a fuck gonna do that.
We'll see.
We'll see how safe.
Maybe
if you
we'll listen to it, yeah, and then we'll reply and tell you why you're wrong.
You might just get like a voice note back that says you poos.
Yeah,
definitely will.
But yeah, what else was there? Was there something else? There was something else.
This is the first of the like a long series of mass plays. So today we did first person shooters. Next week we might do platforming. Next we might do action adventure. Yeah. We'll decide that soon. Yasin just needs to tell us all these things. He didn't fill out his homework yet.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
So please DM Yasin and tell him to do his homework.
Face him to do his homework. That's why I saw my sick today.
Yes, the dog ate his homework. That's why.
Also check out the social stuff, because we're gonna put out before we record, we'll put out the topic basically. Yep. So you can drop in your 5 cents there whenever we say which one we're gonna do. I don't know what one we're gonna do next yet. So yeah. But then yeah, get into contact with us, tell us what you like, and yeah.
But as always, we coffee and controllers. And this has been great. I didn't have an outro there, I just made sure.
Just say your name.
Oh, yeah. Yo, we didn't introduce ourselves in the beginning. I'm Shadley.
I'm Brad.
I'm Saeed.
I'm Yasin.
Bye.
Peace out.
Safe.